Wow, we have quite an enthusiastic crowd today, which is surprising because normally when I make announcements, I usually have to call out a couple times. So it's good to see everyone doing well today. Amen? How many of you feel blessed to be here today?
Yes.
Amen. So I see there are a couple new faces or some faces I haven't seen in a while. So once again, something I like to reiterate every single time I'm up here, even if someone said it previously, because I should really copyright it, but I don't. If you are a member of the Wayne SDA Church, you are part of our family. If you are a visitor for the first time, you are a visitor for the first time. After that, you are part of our extended family. Amen? We know that each and every one of us are. You are our brother and sister. And even if you don't think about that yet, we are enthusiastic to see you hopefully coming soon again, either next week, following weeks, a year, a decade, who knows. But we know that it's definitely a blessing to be here. And my slides are still not up. So let's see this first. Identification. I did a similar sermon to this way back when. Who remembers that or vaguely remembers that? We have no volunteers. So that means that it's going to sound like a new sermon, and which is going to be sort of weird because I actually renamed this sermon to Identification Revisited. Because way back when, I did the sermon back in 2013, in which I'm trying to identify myself as a college student. Now I'm in the workplace, and so I get to look at it from the other perspective as well. So I did my welcome, I did my introductions, and since I am talking about identification, I should first talk a little bit about myself. First of all, it's the second Sabbath of the month, which usually means the pastor is here. So for anyone who's thinking that I'm the pastor, I am most definitely not the pastor. He is still on his trip. And so I'm one of the elders here at the Wayne SDA Church, and I identify myself as a Seventh-day Adventist. I am a graduate from the New Jersey Institute of Technology, which you will see several references in this sermon because the sermon was based off when I was still a student there. And now I'm a software test engineer at some firm in New York City, and I'm working currently as client-side at Con Edison, which now you're going to see certain references of. So now back to that one reference where I talked about me being a previous student at NJIT. When I first did this sermon, I was talking about, wow, all those general university requirements about philosophy and ethics and everything that has to be in there, and I have to complete all of them. And then, except the difference between then and now is now that they're actually complete at this point. But the point I'm trying to make for at least this part of the sermon is that, especially for those who aren't in Adventist education or in some sort of university that has some Christian beliefs or any K-12 school, there's a lot of times where we have to challenge our beliefs or we have to sort of learn things that aren't necessarily something that we associate with our own social norms. So you can see some of them are world religions and philosophies, computer society and ethics, which was a really weird class, psychology, and all these different things. And so when you are in these classes, how do you identify what you should be believing in? How do people identify you when you are in these classes and making certain responses? And how do you identify others, as in what do they believe in? What friends should you be making? So now I get to add that second picture to this slide that I had before. So back in those classes, there are some times where you're like, why are certain religions not eating certain things? Or why are certain religions away on Saturday or maybe not Sunday? Why is a Christian worshiping on Saturday and not Sunday? How do others identify you? And how do you want to be identified by those? Also in the workplace and even other places, how do those people identify you? One of the biggest things I've noticed for identification is first impressions are really a big thing around here. So in the workplace, you know, sometimes if you do the same thing over and over again, so in the project I have at Con Edison, I am a tester, and all I'm ever known to do is testing, and therefore I'm identified by them as a tester. But who wants to be identified for a little bit more than that? When I'm doing my commute to New York City, I was riding the bus a couple days ago, And there's this guy I see sometimes at the bus stop when I wake up in the morning. We don't really say anything, but one commute back, actually yesterday, I was on a phone meeting with some members here at the church, and now I bet that guy now identifies me as an annoying kid who was on the phone for the entire bus ride. So now we have that. How do you want to be identified, and how do others want to identify you? But how can I have one of my sermons and continue going on with that without doing the thing that I usually do on every other sermon, and who knows what that is? Definitions. Absolutely. I don't know if you can read that. Oh, that's a little small. So I guess I have to read that to you. So the definition I pulled up for identification, since that is the title of the sermon, it's a noun, and the first definition that I have is the act of identifying. Well, that's very useful because it has the root word inside of it. The next one is the state of being identified. That is also very useful because it also has the root word inside of it. And also, proof or evidence of identity. Once again, very useful, so we need to go grab the other definitions as well. Identity, it says here that it's a noun, and the first definition is the collective aspect of the set of characters by which a thing is definitely recognizable or known. Okay, so something, characteristics that you identify someone as, so maybe something that they appear to be or something that they do. Another definition, the set of behavioral or personal characteristics by which an individual is recognizable as a member of a group. So maybe there are some people who are identified as Christians based on the things that they do, as it says here, a set of behavioral characteristics. And let's go to identity, because it was, right, identity or identify? Identify, the verb in this group. It says here, to establish the identity of. And the second definition is to ascertain the origin, nature, or definitive characteristics of. Okay, so I think we have a fair grasp of the definition of identity. Can we agree on that? Or should we look up some more definitions? Okay, thank you. Sorry, I'm a former teaching assistant, so I always want to make sure everyone is aware of what they're doing. So identification, we want to be able to identify identification. For this sermon, I want to help you all identify three questions. The first one is, how do others identify you? How do you identify others? And more importantly, some people don't realize this, how do you identify yourself? And so that was the introduction to the sermon. Before I begin, I would like to have a quick word of prayer, so please bow your heads with me. All right, so last time I did this presentation, and this is not going. Next slide, please. Okay, identification. The thing I did last time I did this sermon was I was pulling out several forms of identification. Last time I pulled out a driver's license and a passport and a student ID. I guess now I can add in several employee IDs now that I work in consulting. But is that something that that people normally identify you by? Maybe the police officers identify you by your driver's license? Maybe some hospitals may recognize you by your deacon, deaconess, elders identification? The TSA may recognize you by your passport? And I guess the school, sometimes only the lunch people or the people at the cafeteria recognize you by your picture that you have on your student ID. Maybe on your workplace, and you have your messengers sometimes that you only see that person, you only talk to them via Skype or any other messenger system, and you only see them by that picture, but you've never actually met them before. And so how do others identify you, and how do you identify others? So I have a quick example. Now, I mentioned before that sometimes first impressions are everything, and sometimes when you're in your school or your workplace, I mentioned my workplace, I was identified as a tester. Whoops. And in school, sometimes someone who constantly answers is thought to be the person who is identified as a smart one, who knows what they're talking about. Maybe there's someone who has been in the class several times, calculus, and they are continually continue to learn more. How do you see others? I actually have another example in which I do some frequent runs for coffee at the local Dunkin' Donuts. And sometimes there's this, I see the same person there every single morning. And sometimes there's some really weird things that happen at like really, really, really early in the morning. Like people can come really crazy, really in the morning. And so one time there's this guy yelling at the Dunkin' Donuts employee that there are no glazed donuts. And so me and my friend were trying to stand up for him and saying that, well, they don't have donuts in the morning because they need to replace them. The moral of the story is that we made friends with this Dunkin' Donuts guy, but we've always referred to him as the Dunkin' Bro for probably a year and a half. And not until recently did we really know his name. Sometimes now I just always identify him as the Dunkin' Bro. But sometimes you want to be known by a little bit more than just that. So how do you see others? I'll have someone to read this. If you can't read up there, I'd like someone to open in their Bibles. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 10. Once again, that's Romans chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. I'd like someone to read that for me. Love one another with brotherly love. How many of you have always looked at someone that you've never met before and thought to them or thought about them as being a family member? Just think about that as you read the next verse. We have 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. I'd like someone to read this as well. Amen. So all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Sometimes when we're out in the road, particularly in New Jersey when we're driving, how many people actually think about this when they see that one person who isn't necessarily driving the same way that everyone should be driving? Not returning evil for evil. And so that is always... What is one of the biggest things? If we were all the same, would we have as many arguments in the world? Like, we had the same opinion, we've all looked the same, and we maybe all had the same name. Would we have some of the same problems in the world? We don't know. Maybe. The only way we can tell that is if we were all the same. But what is the thing that pretty much defines each and every one of us? It's not the similarities, it is the differences. We're on a roll. If this was a class, then I would just be like the best, the most like happy teacher ever. So it says here, and I have in my excerpt here, so you want to treat each other like brother and sister. We know brothers and sisters are most definitely different things. And my sisters can probably attest to that, that probably the other sibling is probably nowhere near the same as the other one. So we're going to do some activities here. So everyone's going to stay in their seats, and we're going to talk about some differences. I think I did this last time I did this sermon. So up here, I have this flower in the center, on the bottom, and we have group A and group B. So I'd like those to take a moment to look at it. Okay? You take it a moment. Now the question I'm going to ask is raise your hand if you think that the flower on the bottom belongs in group A. Okay. Now, you could put your hands down. Now, raise your hand if you believe the flower belongs into group B. Okay. Interesting. Now, we have another test. In the middle, we have a shape of a certain material and certain dimensions. And then we have a shape to the left and the right of it. Raise your hand if you believe that the one in the center belongs further to the left. Okay, now we put your hands down. How many of you think that that shape belongs further to the right? Okay, so something that they've done in this study is that more likely than others, people of Eastern and Western cultures will probably have the tendency to pick one side than the other. And we know that certain, I have here, that certain Eastern cultures will have a weak sense of self or less self-confidence, while the Westerns will usually have a stronger sense of self-confidence. Sense of independence, Eastern cultures tend to have a stronger sense of independence, while the Western cultures tend to have a weaker sense of independence. Maybe these have been changing since the last time I wrote the sermon. And also, attitude and focus. We say that the Eastern cultures are a bit more holistic when they look at things. They look at things from a greater perspective, point of view. And the Western cultures are a little bit more analytical and detailed in what they do. Visual attention, if also, don't have a test for that. But the Eastern cultures will tend to look more into the background of different things, while the Western cultures will look more to the foreground, what is directly in front of them. So, talked about differences, identifying different others through different thoughts and ideas. Why does this matter? Well, we know that we have a work to do. Amen? It says here in Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." So we have a work to do, and we know we all have look at things and think things very differently. And so how do we put this all together? Romans 12:5-6. It says, "So in Christ we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith." Continues on for verse 7 and 8. "If it is serving, then serve. It is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." All right, so I don't think anyone is going to beat each other up for what answer they picked for those tests. But we know that sometimes we'll have disagreements on how we should teach or what methods we should use to teach or bring others to Christ. And we know that everyone is going to come and feel differently about how they came into the church. I know everyone will have different stories. When I was a child, I was just being brought up as Christian, so I always thought everything was sort of the norm. And then when I was hearing about Bible prophecy, that was what really brought me into the church and continuing to try to learn more. And so everyone will have different stories about how they got into the church. So, I realize I have not been changing the slides. That is awesome. So, back to identification. How do we identify others? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 and 25. Can I have someone read it, please? Amen. So keep that in thought as we read the next verse. I have Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Can I have someone read this as well? Amen. So even though we have different thoughts and though we have different methods of reaching others, we should always continue to remember that despite our differences, we have a mission to do, and we have a mission to, each of us have a different mission of accomplishing the main mission. Or we have different tasks to accomplish the main mission, as it says previously in the other verse, that we are many, we are one but many. And so we need to continue to remember that. Now, one part of the sermon I mentioned that we had people of different cultures. Here's a question. How do we identify Jesus? So which category does Jesus fall under? Do you think he would have picked a group A or group B? Both. I really like that answer. It says here for 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." So let's see. What are some of the things that I mentioned about cultures from the East and the West? If we look at Jesus from an Eastern culture, there's some of the things that we need to follow that would probably fall under that, is being independent, being able to pray by himself, and being amongst his disciples, sort of being more reserved. But also we could see some of that aspect on the Western culture of being more open. He always spoke some of his sermons openly, and he was open to receiving others. Maybe we can follow his example and continue to think that, okay, maybe we have more tendencies on whatever culture we are brought up in. We need to continue that. Remember that Jesus had different tendencies that probably fell into both categories. And so let's go to one of the questions. It's kind of interesting if you didn't notice. The questions I mentioned earlier in the sermon, I mentioned how do we identify ourselves, probably really high up on the list and probably skipped it. So how should we identify ourselves, and how do we want to want others to identify us? The verse that we just read said that Jesus suffered for us, but that isn't all. He also left an example for us, and when you decide to take up a life with Christ, you inherit his name. That is what it means to be Christian, to be identified as a Christian. Who here would like to be identified as a Christian? Amen. Not just any ordinary student. Or a worker, or someone who's just walking down the street. You want to be identified as a Christian everywhere that you want to go. And so with that, I want to also start to finish up, because we have one more verse. But in Romans chapter 15, verse 4 to 7, our scripture reading, it's for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Amen? And I want to just have a quick, short discussion, just because I've actually added this to the sermon. Is how do others identify you? So I mentioned how you want to continue to identify others and want to be humble, you want to continue to accept others. And sometimes we want to be able to reflect that image. And sometimes we do that really well, but there are those short instances that maybe we don't necessarily do that, such as road rage. How many of us suffer from that terrible thing? And then we also have different cases where maybe someone has been rude to us, maybe passing by the street, bumping into us, and instead of feeling that, okay, we should ignore them, we always feel that, okay, maybe we should teach them a lesson or something. We know that there are also short instances where we do not normally think about it. And one of the biggest advantages of living in the 21st century, and also one of the biggest disadvantages of the 21st century, is these really fun devices. How many of you have liked something on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, something other that maybe sounds funny to you but offensive to others? Okay, there have been several instances of that. How many of you have liked something that probably isn't the best thing to like, but maybe isn't the terrible thing to like, but you liked it on the Sabbath? Okay? So there's some instances of that. How many of you have, been tweeting or saying something at church? I know that you're totally just going on Twitter or Facebook and like checking in and saying, hashtag, I'm at church today, or saying, but probably not that. So there's so many instances where we are reflecting ourselves differently on social media when we should be thinking about Christ and trying to bring others to Christ, or maybe just showing pictures that they shouldn't be showing when they should be reflecting Christ. So keep that in mind as we continue to try to identify ourselves differently in other people's eyes. And the verse that I want to close off with is here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. That's really hard to read. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, with his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? So, just to wrap up, identification. How many of us think that people, we should probably get a new form of identification? Something that necessarily not just a driver's license, not saying that I'm an employee, maybe an identification that says, I'm Christian and I'm proud of it. Amen? You know, Christ can give us that identification. You don't need it physically. And we know that there's some forms of identification that need to pay for, but luckily, being identified as a Christian doesn't require any renewals, doesn't require any long processes or taking a photo that you probably want to regret taking ever, any taxes or post or processing fees. Just follow the Bible, because we know that when we continue to follow in Christ's example, we can be identified as something that we're proud of being identified as. Amen? How many of you want to have that new identification? Amen. So with that, that is the end. And so identification, continue to identify others differently. You can try to build your own identification that is something that Christ would continue to love or continue to be proud of. Amen? I invite you to open your hymnals to page 152 as we close.